got saved, and the other five rededicated their life to the Lord. So I tell people, I was in a church one night when 50% of the congregation got saved. So which side is it going to be tonight? What a joy to be here tonight. Appreciate my wife singing in the service, and appreciate her so very much. Really enjoyed VBS the other week. My, what God done in all of that. And then again to be in the prison Monday night and see a big old 6'4" boy come forward to be saved. Prisoners in prison don't cry. This old boy was crying. And the chaplain has called me back at least one time saying, this old boy's for real. He's getting a pass every day to come to my office and find out what he's supposed to do next. Boy, I wish we'd get hungry like that. Amen. Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Exodus, chapter number 14. Exodus chapter number 14. If you don't need this message tonight, I assure you, somewhere down the road, you will. I want to preach tonight on the subject between a rock and a hard place. Now again, maybe you have never been there. Maybe you're one of these health and wealth people. But somewhere along the way, you're not going to know which way to turn. You're possibly going to be in the wilderness. And by the way, these that were in the wilderness were complainers in the wilderness. Oh, that's right, I'm in a Baptist church. There are no complainers here tonight. Number two, there were casualties in the wilderness. There was carnality in the wilderness. But tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be cloud followers in the wilderness. The cloud by day and the fire by night. Between a rock and a hard place, you might be here tonight and dealing with that emotionally. And we better be careful that we don't make fun, because we remember those that we study in the Bible that doubted God, like sometimes we emotionally doubt God also. You might be between a rock and a hard place in regard to some emergency. And I'm thinking right now of our pastor and what's going on in his situation, in his family. And again, one phone call could change the rest of our lives. I live in my home place where it all started on June the 6th, 1957. And every once in a while, because I sleep in the same bedroom where my daddy took his last breath when I was 17 years old, I praise God for His grace. I praise God for His goodness. But sometimes emotionally, you relive things. And what happens in your heart and in your soul, you become between a rock and a hard place. You might be between a rock and a hard place tonight with your finances, your failures, and your concern about your future. These elements come with decisions, doubts, disappointments. One trip to the doctor could put you between a rock and a hard place when it comes to sickness, situations, and your service. When it comes to cares and our callings. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have got to see in this wilderness journey when they got to the place that they were at, how they was going to be able to progress further for the glory of God. And I say this again, so much going on in this text tonight. May God help us in all that we have to learn tonight. I want you to notice, first of all, tonight in this chapter, in chapter number 13 tonight, I want you to notice, number one, very simple thoughts. We get right to the message. I want you to notice tonight, number one, the plan of God. The plan of God. You mean to tell me that God had a reason for what they were going through? Does not all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are the called according to His purpose? I mean, they had been in Egypt for
over 400 years. But that didn't mean that when they come out of Egypt that they were not going to face issues in the journey. I want us to see that. When we're between a rock and a hard place, I want us to see it being the plan of God. I want you to see, first of all, that it is a prophesied plan. For in chapter number 13, if you will, please, in verse number 19, it says that Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straightly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. We could go back to Genesis tonight and verbatim read what we've just seen here in verse number 19. He made a promise years ago that this day would come. It's a prophesied plan. You might be going through that rock and hard place right now. Please don't miss what I'm getting ready to say. It has a purpose. It doesn't catch God by surprise. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I see that it's not only a prophesied plan, but next of all, it is a perfect plan. For again, in chapter number 13, in verse number 18, it says this to our hearts tonight. But God, verse 18, but God led the people about. Did you see that? Not Moses, not the people, but God. It's a happy day when we let go of the reins and let God take control. It's kind of like our grandson Jackson. He wants to fix stuff. He's a normal little guy. I mean, he tears it up, wants to fix it. And sometimes he can't. And he'll come over and say, Papa, I can't, but I know you can. And I'm going, I hope so. I'm glad it's not that way with God, though. It could be you're here tonight and you're trying to fix the problem. It could be tonight like Breed and I was, especially me, when one of our boys was in drug addiction and away with God. And sometimes I'd go to the woods and I would scream at God and say, God, I can't fix it. It's a prophesied plan. But it also is a perfect plan. It also is a pillar-led plan. Now don't miss this now. God reveals Himself in that cloud to lead the way. And the Lord, verse 21, went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud, to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire, to give them light to go by day and night. By the way, He's on call 24/7. It was a pillar-led plan. If God be for us, then who can be against us? I mean, in this plan of God, we see His gifts. We see His gateway. We see His guarding. We see His guidance. And we see His grandeur. They would have never made it to the promised land without Him. And the only way we'll get to heaven is with Him. Might be someone here tonight that's never trusted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. You don't go to heaven by baptism. You don't go by church membership. You don't go by being a goody-goody two-shoes. And that's the way I was raised in the liberal church. Do the best you can. If your good works outweigh your bad, maybe God will let you go to heaven. I'm glad I heard about Jesus at a youth camp. I'm glad I heard on Monday night at youth camp, I'm glad I heard about hell. And on the second night, heard about the lake of fire. Went back to the cabin. There was a King James Bible laying on the bunk. I told my testimony before. Rest of the kids were at canteen. I was under conviction. Opened up that Gideon Bible. Had the plan of salvation outlined. What'd you do? I got saved. Amen right there. The plan of God. Notice number two tonight. The pursuers of God's people. Now let's remember, in that wilderness journey, it wasn't all peaches and cream. And even though that we're out of the wilderness or out of Egypt by being saved, there's still trials in the wilderness. And by that, there is a pursuer. His plan is known by God. In chapter 14, verse 1 through 4, watch what the Lord says to Moses to say to the people, beginning in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pharaoh between Migdol and the sea over against Beelzephon. But before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. But watch this now, this pursuer. Look what happens. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. Now what's so exciting about that? It excites me that the Lord tells this to Moses, what's getting ready to happen and how it's going to turn out. I'm not telling you tonight that the devil's not smart, but I'm telling you tonight I know who's got all wisdom. He says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall fall after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh, I'm reading it again, and upon all his hosts that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. Why does all things work together? They all work together to give God the glory. This pursuer, his plan is known by God. His people are known by God. But his power is also feared by God's people, of course. But we're going to see as we go on tonight how God does get the victory. Look at chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. And the reason I want to read this is because I want us to once again see how human that we can become and how they were that way in their day. Verse 10, and when Pharaoh knew die, drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid. And what did they do? What we should do. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Do we all have fears? Yes, we do. When you get that report from the doctor, do we have fears? Yes, we do. When all of a sudden something breaks around the house and it's going to cost a lot of money, do we have fears? Yes, we do. When you see your son or daughter, like one of our sons, begin to run around with the wrong crowd and start seeing a rebellious spirit, does it bring fear? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. But again, notice what they done. When they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Verse 11, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell them in Egypt, saying, let us alone? They're doubting God that they should have ever followed Moses. That's no different than us. Come on now, church. It's no different than we are. Than that we should die in the wilderness. So what do we have tonight? We have the plan of God. Number two, we have the pursuer of God's people. And this next point might be the most important. I not only see those two points, but I also see the plea of God. What does God begin to plea to His people? Number one, He pleads for them to settle down. That's just not for us parents to our kids and us papaws and maymays, in our case to our grandkids. There's a plea to settle down. Because in verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. What is it tonight that you're afraid of? What is it tonight that's keeping us awake at night? I'm going to make it public tonight that my wife's getting ready to have back surgery. We are making it a great matter of prayer. We should. And it could take us off the road for a while, and if it does, the family comes first. Her care comes first. Hey, baby, I'm going to spoil you even worse than you are now. But then the devil likes to bring fears. I mean, he does in Clemens. How about here in King? But he says right here, for all this going on and all that the Lord has to say, he says, fear ye not. Stand still. There's not only a plea to settle down, there's also a plea to stand still. Slow down and watch God work. And boy, can He ever. By the way, He still does it exceedingly abundantly. People told Miss Maynard and I that we would starve to death in missions evangelism. I have to stay on a diet all the time now. I mean, He's provided and met every need. 5 radio stations, 3 days a week. I mean, you can't explain faith on a piece of paper. You can't get to a situation like they are right here and figure it out, but it being nothing but God leading them by day and by night. Now, I mean, I tell you what's in my heart tonight, and this has been my burden for this message since Pastor talked to me, is to encourage ourselves to press on toward the things of God and keep on serving God and just go all the way for Him until He takes us home. A plea to settle down. A plea to stand still. A plea to see His salvation. They're experiencing His angel, His answer, His almightiness, and His all-the-nightness also. There's great power in what God can do. And that's my next point. There is the power of His deliverance. What do you see all of this? Well, verse 19, the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them. Did you get that? He not only has power to lead me, but He has power to protect me. Y'all didn't get it. He's an all-around me God. That's what He's saying. Oh, my soul. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians, the angel of God, that's mentioned in verse number 19. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to those, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Even when we don't know what's going on, He knows what's going on. Even when we don't know what's ahead, He knows what's ahead. Sister Maynard, He knows whether it's necessary for you to have the back surgery or not. So what are you going to do? We're just going to trust Him like we've been doing for 14 years now. He's able. Did you hear me, church? He's able. Oh my. They see His salvation in the angel of God, the answer of God, the almightiness of God, and the all-night God. And here's the power of His deliverance, and all I can do is read it. And the Egyptians pursued, verse 23, and went in after them in the midst of the sea. Even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. If I'd have been, I'd have went, na-na-na-na-boo-boo, you're going to get it. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians, watch it now, and took off their chariot wheels. And they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel. For the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Can somebody say amen? If God done that then for them, cannot God do that for us now? The power of His deliverance. For time, verse 31 of the same chapter 14, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did unto the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servants Moses. And last of all tonight, I want you to see not only the plan of God, number two, the pursuer of God's people. Number three, the plea for God's help. Number four, the power of God's deliverance. And then I want you to notice last of all, the praises of God's people. My. You turn over just a few chapters when they get into the promised land in the book of Joshua. And let me just get there and just read it for you. Joshua in chapter number 2. That when they get there, look at verse 10. He says, for we have heard the people there. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites which were on the other side Jordan. And for time, verse 11, and as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. You see, God not only wants to do for us to prove His greatness, but He also wants to use it as a testimony. As a testimony to let others know that our God has power. And our God can deliver. And our God can take us from a rock and a hard place to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad He's my strong tower. I'm glad He's my deliverer. And again, people said, oh, Brother Maynard, you'll starve to death. Well, I could show you that they might if I just unbuckle this jacket. Where God guides, He always provides. Between a rock and a hard place was where they were at. But God delivers again. Preacher, you come.